Today, I talk about both portions of the scripture. One is recorded in Micah, the Micah prophet, chapter 6, verse 6 to 8. Another one I'm going to talk about is Romans, chapter 12, 1 and 2. We want to have a word of prayer first. We ask the Lord to bless each and every one of us first. And then we will explain what we're going to learn today, okay? So we pray. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you fill your servant and your children with your Holy Spirit and with your word, lest we sin against you. Lord, we know that through the scripture it is not good enough just to know your will, but to do your will. Not everyone who call you Lord, Lord, will be able to enter the kingdom of God, but those who do the will of God will be able to enter the kingdom of God. And I pray, O Lord, that you help your servant to explain your will clearly to your children, so that we hide your word within our heart, lest we sin against you. Help us not to deceive ourselves, help us to be a truthful person, and help us to be a righteous man. And we know that there's no righteous man on earth unless you fill us with your word and with your Holy Spirit, and empower us to be your witness, empower us to do your will. Otherwise, we're going to fall. And I pray that you enable us and empower us and give us the spirit of wisdom and understanding, and give us the spirit of counsel and of power, and give us the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So, I want to see what the Old Testament teaching from Micah chapter 6, verse 6 to 8. Is Micah teaching is the same as Paul teaching in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. So I'm going to ask Daniel the senior, could you read the Micah? Micah chapter 6, verse 1 to 6.
1 to 6?
Chapter 6, 6 to 6 to 8.
With what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings with calf a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams with 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body to the sin of my soul? He has showed you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God.
So Moses, I want you to read it one more time, loudly, okay?
With what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has showed you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God.
George White, could you read Romans chapter 12, verse 1 to 2?
Therefore, I urge you, brethren, in the view of God's mercy, to offer your body as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, as a spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God wills.
Okay. Now, could you look at the board, okay, now, okay, and see how I'm going to explain these Bible verses to you. As I said, when you come to this place, what the Lord require of you? What did he require of you? Josh? Remember the first day? What did I say?
No.
You don't remember? You remember, Daniel? Remember Bible verses. Impress the Bible verses within your heart, okay? You got to memorize it, okay? I did it myself. I won't ask you to do anything if I don't do it myself. Okay? It benefit me, it benefit you. Okay? I want you to know when you come to worship, who are you worshiping? Look at this. You are worshiping the Lord. Secondly, you are worshiping the exalted God. I want to stop here. I want you to put an emphasis in the Lord, the exalted God. In other words, if the article the, that means one and only. There's no other Lord. There's only one Lord. So that's why they call it the Lord. You understand? I'm not asking you to come before a Lord, a Master. I'm asking you to come before the Lord, the Master. You understand? There's no other one. And then the Lord that we are worshiping is the exalted God. He's the Most High. So I want to make sure from this day on, when you go to the church, okay, listen to me very carefully. Take away all the cell phone. I don't want to put it in the vibration mode. I want to shut it off. Because you are not worshiping a Lord. You are not worshiping an exalted God. You are worshiping the Lord. The exalted God. You understand? Look at how Micah sing. When you come and worship God, he knows that we have to bring something. You're not bringing the cell phone. And then you keep waiting. Your arm is moving, you know. I know some people are ignorant, you know. They're using not using a vibration. They're using what? Beep, 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 and everybody looking at him. You know what I mean? I don't want it happen in our church. Or in any church that you go for worshiping. You understand? Whom are we approaching? It's the Lord, the exalted God. Listen to me very, very carefully, okay? I don't know, you know, most of the people hasn't been working yet. If you go to a conference room to go for working, the CEO is sitting as a chair, and then you are his employee. And then if your cell phone ring, you know what happened? You're going to fire. I can guarantee you. Okay? Because you don't honor him. Remember one thing, even though you put your cell phone in a vibration mode, the Lord knows that. Right? If the Lord doesn't know you put a vibration mode, he's not the Lord. Right? Pastor Lemmy, no, no. You know, your pocket is shaking already, you know what I mean? I may not know, but the Lord knows. The Lord searches your heart and examines your heart. Make sure you're not having any BlackBerry, any cell phone, okay? Cut that off. Because we come before the Lord, the and only Lord, the exalted God. And I want to stop here. If I honor God, do you think that he will honor me or he gonna humble me? When I exhort him, you think he's gonna humiliate me? Or he gonna set me apart and bless me? Josh.
Set you apart.
Bless me, right? You want the Lord to bless you?
Yeah.
You do things that honor him. You understand?
Yeah.
So, with what shall I come before the Lord? Not with cell phone, not with BlackBerry, not with palm party. When you come before the Lord, what's the word? Bow down. You know why you bow down? Did any one of you in here, you know, ever seen Chairman Mao? Have any one of you seen Chairman Mao? You have seen Chairman Mao? When you approach Chairman Mao, are you going to bow down before him? No? No? So what are you going to do when you approach Chairman Mao? You can talk to his face? You can?
That's what, yeah.
Dang.
Hey? You know who's Chairman Mao?
Yeah.
Who?
Chinese guy.
Chinese guy! Oh, man. Oh, man. You may not have to bow down to Chairman Mao, but when you come and approach the Lord, the exalted God, you bow down. Because He is the Most High. You understand? You remember the last time, what did we memorize? Proverbs chapter 15, verse 33. Humility comes before what? Honor. If you want the Lord to honor you, you humble yourself before the Lord. You bow down. You try that. You try that to humble yourself before William. You try to humble yourself before Amy. I tell you one thing, you get nothing but good food. You be a proud man, you're dead. You got that?
Got that, Josh?
You got that?
Yeah.
Okay. With what shall I come before the Lord? With what shall I bow down before the exalted God? Micah saying, shall I come before the Lord with burnt offering? Because in Leviticus, the Bible says that the high priest, in order to please the Lord, the high priest has to offer the burnt offering. So he asked the same kind of question among God's people. Shall I come before the Lord with burnt offering? With calves a year old? The answer is no. Verse 7. Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams? With 10,000 rivers of oil? In other words, if you slaughter a lot of oxen and burn the fat become under high heat, become like water, like river, right? It just keep flowing. You did the Lord want us to kill a lot of ram? A lot of gold? No. The answer is no. Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression? If the answer is yes, Joshua, you're the first one to die because your father is a sinner. He transgressed before God, and if the answer is yes, I have to offer my firstborn for my transgression, then you're the first one to die because you're the firstborn, right? And then second one, shall I offer the fruit of my body for the sins of my soul? And after your daddy, William, offer you, and later on he sins against the Lord again. So what else do you do? Gabriel, you are the fruit of his body. You're the second one, right? You'll be killed too. Fortunately, the answer is no. In verse 6 and in verse 7. You understand? Then, what should we do when we approach God? What should we do when we come before the Lord? We know that we have to offer something. If the Lord doesn't want burnt offering, if the Lord doesn't want calf a year old, if the Lord doesn't want my firstborn, if the Lord doesn't want the fruit of my body, what did He want? The Bible tells us in chapter 6, Micah verse 8, the Lord God has shown you, O man, what is good. Not the burnt offering, not offering the firstborn, not offering the fruit of your body, but offering what? Offering yourself as a living sacrifice. You write that down in Micah chapter 6 verse 8. What should we offer? When you sin against God, and God redeemed your body, God rescued you from the pit, God saved you from hell, spare your life, He redeemed you. He takes your place. He died on the cross for you. Then what should you do when you come before the Lord? When you bow down before the Lord God, what should you offer? The Lord has already shown you. Oh man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. You circle all these words, and you write down. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. That's what you have to offer. Offer your body as living sacrifices. In other words, from this day on, you do not live for yourself, you live for God. Did any one of you remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 to 17? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 to 20? What is your body like? Your body is sacred, holy. Your body is the dwelling of the Holy Spirit. It's the temple of the Holy Spirit, isn't it? And you are not of your own. Your body doesn't belong to you anymore. So is this the right thing to offer your body to God? Because he redeemed your body. You could have been dead already on the cross, right? You're supposed to take the curse because you sinned against the Lord. How can I redeem the sins of my soul? How can I redeem my own transgression? Offering my son? No. The Lord did not require that. The Lord required you to offer yourself as a living sacrifice. He didn't want you to offer yourself as a dead sacrifice. He wants you to offer yourself as a living sacrifice. From this day on, you live for Jesus. You know what? Hannah, if you live for Jesus, the Lord is going to give you the best husband. The best one. Love you all the day of your life. Oh, man. You're going to live life in heaven, okay? If you marry a husband and that mistreat you, you will be in deep trouble. Right? Honor him. How do we honor God when we approach him, when we come before him? Offer our body as living sacrifice. When you truly offer your body as living sacrifice, what will you do? I will see that you act justly. You act justly on behalf of Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ lives in your body. Whatever you do the right thing. You do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and honor him. And then you love mercy, because Jesus Christ said, I love mercy, then you will love mercy. And thirdly, you walk humbly with God. Not my will, but your will. Remember in Jesus' prayer in Gethsemane? He said, if it's possible, take away this cup. But not my will, but your will, right? If I have to take it, I take it. He walked humbly with his God. And we follow the pattern of Jesus Christ. Do not follow the pattern of this world. I want you to give me an answer. The church that you go to, Moses in Builder, is most of the young kids, they hand carry what? A BlackBerry? iPod, iPhone, right? They keep themselves busy. Right after the benediction, or even before the benediction, they go to check the email already. You think the Lord will bless you with this kind of attitude? You just think about that. You know what? You may not understand what I'm trying to say now. Wait until you go and get a job. Then the Lord starts to discipline you. You know how he's going to discipline you? I will give you a few scenarios. In the future, when you see that, you know that this is the act how God disciplines you. He will give you a lousy supervisor. He's going to be behind your back all the time. Okay? He's going to check when you're going to come into the office. You are 5 minutes late, he give you a hat. All the other colleagues, 10 minutes late, still okay. But he give you problems all the time. Poking at your face. Okay? And if you still do not repent, he fire you. And you change up from time to time. When you go to the office, you have no joy. Everyone gets promotion, everyone gets salary raise, except you. And then all your friends have good boyfriend and girlfriend, except you. But the friend that you like, he didn't like you. Wow, how do you like it? You wait and see. If it doesn't happen, I pray that it will happen. As I said before, I have a very, very good relationship with your parents. Am I right? If he complained anything to me, and I know that the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective, I'm going to kneel down and pray until you suffer with that, then you change. But when I see you change, I kneel down and pray and say, Lord, bless them. How do you like it?
I like it.
You like it, eh?
I like it.
Okay. That's the deal, man. I want to tell you one thing. Yesterday, after my Bible study with New York, my Bible study with the Fisel Church in China, I received a phone call from Simon Ho. He told me that he was very, very discouraged. He said that the children downstairs are very out of order, talking all the time while Simon Ho is talking. I don't want it happen again. You understand? Do you get it? I don't want to name names. You know that. I want you to pay attention to Simon. Look at Simon. You either look at his eyeball to eyeball, pay attention. You're not staring at him, okay? You look at him eyeball to eyeball, eye contact. That means I'm listening to you, sir. Your servant's here. Whatever you say, speak to me. You either look at his eyeball or you look at the Bible. You're not going to look at your friend. You understand? Do you hear me? Okay? That's good. Now, when we approach God, now, another thing, you know, he was so discouraged, he said, shut down the English ministry. I say, why? He said, the people are not listening to him. You want me to shut down the English ministry? Better listen, okay? You got that? Okay, that's good. Now go back. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? He is worthy of our worship. The true worship that the Lord requires of you is to act justly, do the right thing, do what Jesus do. Whatever you do, whether in speech or in word, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and giving thanks to God the Father through him for everything. Secondly, to love mercy, because God is a merciful God. He's merciful to those who are ungrateful. So that later on, hoping that they will repent. And thirdly, the Lord wants us to walk humbly with him, with your God. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, children, in view of God's mercy, to offer your body as living sacrifices. To offer your body as living sacrifices means to act justly, means to love mercy, means to walk humbly with your God. These three things are holy things, holy to God and pleasing to God. If you act justly, if you love mercy, if you walk humbly with your God, these are holy things. This pleases the Lord. If you do things that please the Lord, let me tell you, if you do things that please the Lord give you everything that's pleasing in your sight. He gives you good children, good husband, good wife, good house. Everything's good. If you're no good, He takes the good thing that He's given it to you and give you the best stuff until you repent. Look at the life of Israelite. Israelites are not supposed to live in New York City. There are over 8 million Jews living within 50 states of the United States. There are only 8 million Jews in the Promised Land now. But there's 8 million in U.S. How come they are scattered all over the places? Palestine, the Promised Land, is a land flowing with milk and honey. That is supposed to be their place, right? And how come they live in New York? Because they don't obey God. God scattered them. You say, oh, Pastor John, don't you know? They make good money. Let me tell you one thing. You look at the church history. Look at the world history. Every time when they make good money, before the Second World War, you know who killed them? German killed them. Dutch killed them. Confiscated all their money and killed their children and killed their body, right? In concentration camp, right? How many millions of Jews are killed? When they disobey God, they will scatter throughout the whole world. Yeah, they make money, okay. And then the foreigner take their money and kill them all. This is God's discipline to His people until He repent. You try to share the gospel. Tell them Jesus Christ is the Lord. Jesus Christ is the exalted God. He's going to argue with you. He said Jesus is not. You understand? They are stiff-necked people. They're stubborn people. That's why they suffer so much. Children, listen to me carefully. You want to live a good life? Do not be a stiff-necked Israelite. Ask the Lord to take away your heart of stone and replace it with the heart of flesh. Ask the Lord to take away your old heart and give you a new heart. On top of that, give you a new spirit, the Spirit of the Lord. What's the Spirit of the Lord is like? The last time in Isaiah chapter 11 verse 2, the Spirit of the Lord is like the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding. You know what? If you have Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, whatever you do in your career, you'll be the top-notch guy. Because God gives you wisdom and understanding. If you have the Spirit of the Lord fill your heart, you have the Spirit of counsel and power. When your VP, when your president, when your CEO asks, say, Moses, what should I do in this situation? You give him a counsel, and that counsel with power, and later on he demands so much money. You think you're not going to be promoted? You'll be promoted. You understand? Do you understand? If you have the Spirit of the Lord rest upon you, you have the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. If you fear the Lord, it's the beginning of wisdom. You're stiff-necked, you're going to die earlier. I think the Lord will not put you to death now. You know, He's going to let you suffer so much first. Until you agonize. Until you turn around. That's how the Lord disciplined me. I agonize. I say, Lord, I repent. I turn around. I don't want to suffer anymore. You understand? Don't be a wild horse. If a wild horse cannot be tamed by the owner, the wild horse are useless to the owner. A horse supposed to be what? Useful by the owner. So the owner can use it. If the owner can use it, that tame horse will be well fed. Don't have to look for food. Okay? Does it make sense? Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, children, in view of God's mercy, to offer your body, because your body is sacred. Your body is the temple of God. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you, that you receive from God. So offer your body. Your body does not belong to you anyway. Your body belongs to God because He purchased your body with His blood. So offer your body as living sacrifices. That means live for Jesus. By doing so, it is holy. It is pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. In the English NIV translation called by offering your body as living sacrifice, it is your spiritual act of worship. But in Chinese translation, saying that offering your body as living sacrifices, this is your reasonable act of service. So which one is correct? The Chinese translation is correct, or the English translation is correct? In Greek word, in Hebrew word, both of them are correct. The word worship always comes with service. You cannot tell me you worship God if you do not serve God. Go back to Micah chapter 6, verse 6. Why would people come before the Lord? Why would people bow down before the Lord? He bowed down before the Lord is to serve God, is to worship God. You understand? He comes before the Lord not with an empty hand. You understand? He comes before the Lord by offering something. What did he offer? What did the Lord want us to offer? First part? The fruit of your body? Burnt offering? Calf of a 1 year old? Or your body as living sacrifice? It's your body, right? He wants you, when you go and worship God, He wants you to serve God, to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. That is your reasonable act of service. This is your spiritual act of worship. If you say to me you worship God and you do not serve God, you're lying to me. So worship and service are going hand in hand. You cannot serve God without worshiping God. If you tell me you worship God, you got to serve God. Gina, I'm very happy that you serve God by reading the scripture. I like that. But I want to see more. I want to see you gather together, the youth, and offer choir, offer your singspiration to the Lord. That would be even better. Don't just worship God without service. That's not a true worship. You understand? Worship God with service, going hand in hand. You got that? So the Chinese one, this is your reasonable act of ministry, reasonable act of service is equivalent to your spiritual act of worship. It means the same thing. You understand? When you go to the church, Andy makes sure you serve God. You got that? Hannah, I like it too. Hannah serve God. Hannah serving in the choir. Hannah helping the youth, children ministry, teaching them, right? Sunday school, right? Yeah, I like it. Same as Moses, right? Miriam too, right? Joss and Gabriel too, right?
Yeah, how come they don't have girlfriends or boyfriends?
They're too young for that. You got to have it at the right time, man. Oh, man. Timing is everything. If Christopher had a girlfriend, he would be in deep trouble. I would knock his head off, okay? You understand? When he is 24 years old, it's about time. They have a girlfriend. 24 years old. 24 Isaiah, okay? You hear me? You hear that, okay? I'm not saying 14, I say 24. You know, I tell you my story. The girlfriend that I have when I'm 18, the girlfriend that I have when I'm 17, the girlfriend that I have when I'm 20, the girlfriend that I have when I'm 24, they're all gone anyway. Waste of my time. Not so many girlfriends. But I study hard, man. I don't have time pilot. I don't talk to them. Okay? Anyway, now is not the time to talk about girlfriends. Okay? Don't expect me to expand further, okay? I want to stop it right here, okay? But I'm telling you the fact. When you are immature, when you go for dating too early, you're wasting your money, you're wasting your resources, you're wasting your energy. That's not going to be your wife anyway. You're feeding someone else's wife. Don't waste money. Don't waste time. Do you hear me? You hear me, okay? Now, go back to the Bible. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, and children especially, in view of God's mercy, to offer your body as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your reasonable act of service. This is your spiritual act of worship. What did I say? Worship is equivalent to what is worship is equivalent to
service.
You cannot worship God if you do not serve God. Your worship is not genuine worship. A genuine worship, a spiritual worship, always come with ministry and service. You understand? If you say to your mother, "Mother, I love you," and then you never help out in doing housework, you're lying. Right? You say, "Mommy, I really like you. Thank you very much for raising us up." And I feel, from the bottom of my heart to say that, with gratitude, you better start washing dishes, okay? You understand? Otherwise, you lie to me. You can lie to your mother, but you can lie to me because I know that. Worship always comes with service. Okay? And it's reasonable to do it. Why is it reasonable to do it? Because He redeemed my life. He saved me. You know, I remember that there's a lady. She was in 2001. She was working at the Twin Tower, one of the Twin Towers at New York City. And somehow she can't get down from 100th floor. And then the fireman happened to be a young man, is single, risked his life to rush to go all the way up and bring her down. Oh, you know, that girl is saying, "I don't know who's rescuing me, who's saving me." She offering, say, "Wow, you know, please, that gentleman, please come to me. You know, I'm willing to marry you," or whatever, you know. It is a reasonable act of service because someone saving her life. It just happened that she's very beautiful too. Okay? Alright? Now, go back. Verse 2. Do not conform any longer, because we conform to the pattern of this world for a long, long time already. Time is enough. Enough is enough. It's too long already. So do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. If the other Christian bring a cell phone, bring all the other stuff to the church, I tell you one thing. You put your mind, your heart to the Lord and honor Him. In these 2 hours, I set it apart, I give it to you. I want you to imagine, Joshua. I know you don't have a girlfriend yet, right? Assuming you have a girlfriend. And then you take him to I take her to Olive Garden. Okay? Is Olive Garden an expensive restaurant, or which one is more expensive? Assuming you take her to a very expensive restaurant, and she's not enjoying the meal that you're offering, and she always look at the text messages, cell phone, talking to another boy, you think you could enjoy the meal? You're going to say to yourself, I'm going to kill myself. Why would I pay for the meal? I'm going to walk away and let her pay for the meal.
Dine and dash,
right? Can you imagine? You're listening to a pastor's sermon, but your heart is not with the pastor, nor with the Lord. Your worship is useless. You're wasting your time. And on top of that, you arouse his anger towards your behavior. Does it make sense, Gabriel? You don't have any girlfriend yet, right? You want me to pray that you have a girlfriend like this, that's the way how she treat you? I want you to see how you feel, you know, when you go to a church and the pastor preaching, then you tag messages, okay? You say, well, it's a boring sermon. I don't know what he's talking about and stuff like that. Right? Don't do that. If you go to a working place, especially in conference, if you do that to your boss, you'll be fired. You don't respect him, you don't show honor to him, you won't be promoted, man. Give your heart to the job. Give your heart to the worship. Then you'll be prosperous and successful. You understand? Your parents may not tell you, but I'm telling you how to be good. How to be successful. Okay? Whatever you do, do it all with every effort that you have. Show honor to your superior. Fear him. He's going to promote you. You got that? Right? Do not conform any longer. It's too long already. We got to stop it from here. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. What's the pattern of this world? The pattern of this world is opposing God. The pattern of this world is leading to hell. What kind of pattern should I follow? I should follow the pattern of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is the pattern I should follow. What is his pattern? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. That is Jesus' pattern. But be transformed. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Brother and sister, I would like to remind you, if you want your life to be changed, what has to be changed first? In verse 2. If you want your life to be transformed, to be totally changed, what has to be changed first? Miriam? Your mind. You've got to change your mind first. If you make your decision, you make up your mind, you keep on doing that, I'm going to bring a cell phone, I'm going to keep on doing that, your life will not be changed. The moment you turn around and change your mind, your life will be transformed. From caterpillar to butterfly. From crawling to flying like an eagle. You have a choice. Okay? First thing, we change our mind first. Then our behavior will be changed. When someone tells you something, you agree with his saying, and then you change your mind, your conduct, your behavior will be changed eventually. First change the mind, then change the action. Where does it say? In the future, if I get opportunity, I will talk about that. But I will not talk about that now, but I want you to write it down in verse 2. Right beside Romans chapter 12, verse 2, write down Philippians, chapter 4, verse 8 and 9. Daniel, the senior, will you read it?
Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things.
Think about such things. Changing your mind. Don't think about the bad thing. Think about the good thing. Whatever is pure, noble, holy, pleasant, honorable, all this kind of stuff. Think about such things. And then in verse 9,
whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you.
Before you do anything, you got to have a right thinking, positive thinking. If you have negative thinking, you have negative behavior. You have positive thinking, you have positive behavior. You got that? I want to stop here. If I get opportunity, I will talk about that. But that's not what I'm talking about. In here, go back to Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Your mind got to be changed first. Good thing, biblical Bible verses, think about God's word. Meditate on it all the time. And then you put it into practice. When you put it into practice, the Lord is going to bless you. How are you going to bless you? Then you will be able to test God's will. Then you will be able to approve God's will, saying that, oh, His will is holy. Oh, His will is pleasing. His will is perfect will.
How do we test His will?
You have to do His word. Then, when you experience it, same as, how can you test the barbecue pork? You just look at it. You don't test it by look at it. You test it by putting it in your mouth. And chewing it, tastes good, swallow it. You got that? First of all, when your mindset are changed, then your behavior, your action will be changed. Once your action are changed, then you'll be able to test God's will. Then you'll be able to approve God's will, saying, wow, His will is holy will. His will is pleasing to me and pleasing to Him. And His will is perfect. Good to Him and good to me. It's a win-win situation. You honor Him, He honors you. You glorify Him, He glorify you. You disown Him, He disown you. You ignore Him, He disrespects you. You understand? What does the Lord require of you? He has shown you. He has shown you, oh man, what is good. What has He shown you today? Through my preaching, what did He require of you? To act justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. If I give these three things together, and using one word, is to offer your body as living sacrifices. Offering your body as living sacrifices? Is this a holy thing to do? Is it pleasing to God? When you do things that please God, will He not please you? What Proverbs chapter 8 verse 17 say? I love those who love me. Those who seek me will find me. You got that? With me are riches and honor, enduring wealth, and prosperity. You want it? Follow Him. pray that every time your servant speak your word, I pray that you fill him with your word and with his Holy Spirit. So that he explain clearly to your children. I also pray for your children. I pray that the Spirit of the Lord rests upon each and every one of them. And I pray that your word, especially your holy word, fill their heart so that they fear you and honor you. As they fear you and honor you, I pray that you set them apart and bless them. And let them know this is the right way to do. This is a holy thing to do that's pleasing in your sight. And if that is a perfect will. By doing according to your will, we all know for sure we're going to go to heaven. We give you thanks for your Holy Scripture. We give you thanks for giving us the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for taking our heart of stone and replace it with a heart of flesh. Thank you, Lord, for giving us the new Spirit, the Spirit of the Lord, so that we have wisdom, understanding, counsel, power, knowledge, and the fear of the Lord. We do not have the spirit of timidity, but we have the spirit of love, of power, and of self-discipline. We give you thanks for what you have given us to us. And I pray that you continue to bless our children, especially when they come to you to hear your word. I pray that you bless them. I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So what did I say today? Offer yourself as living sacrifice. If you change your mind not to live for yourself, but to live for Jesus, I can guarantee you, your marriage life, your career, your study life, everything will be blessed by the Lord. Okay? God bless.